guests and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. We live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a call in today, it is 907-458-TALK. That is 907-458-8255. And with that, we have Joni Skillbred, who's always on our last Wednesday of the month.
Except this time.
Except for September. And she's come in on the fourth Wednesday of the month before, which wasn't the last Wednesday of the month, and that was funny. And so it's always on a Wednesday. It's always on a Wednesday. And so you're here on the first Wednesday of the month. And how you doing?
I'm doing great. We had to skip last time because I, got the COVID bug, and I'm totally over it now, and safe to be around.
I'm locked in the purple padded room with you, with sparkles on the purple pads, with North Korean equipment. So, I'm living in the danger zone already. I have no fear from your past COVID experience.
I was worried my vehicle sat so long without moving that I thought, oh my gosh, is it going to be rusted up?
You got a big truck too, but I'm you gave me your chronological of historical works by Joan Skillbred.
You asked for it.
Present. Yeah, I've got another project in mind for Fairbanks. She's a repeat offender friend of mine. So whenever I need a historian or a person to tell me some history, I always go to her. So this next project might require a resume review. We'll call it. And boy.
Well, there it is. You asked for it. I gave it to you.
God. how much of the computer megabytes did this take to save?
Well, it's a text file. Not many. But I have a really big computer. Yes.
Okay. So.
Yes, actually, my computer, when I'm dead and gone, I should probably put that in my will. And will it to, the Pioneer Museum or something, because it's mostly history stuff.
there you go. Now, our subject today is?
The Hickle Highway.
Oh, boy.
Because we talked about trucking last time.
Yep.
But I wanted to save the Hickle Highway for a standalone show because that's just...
So integral.
It is. Before we had the Hall Road, we had the Hickle Highway. And it was just... it was a really incredible bit of our history.
So
it deserves a standalone show.
Explain to everyone what the Hickle Highway actually is.
Well, you've seen, everybody's heard of the show Ice Road Truckers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hickle Highway was the ice road that predated our existing Dalton Highway.
Our existing Hall Road.
It was not the first ice road to be used by trucks transporting freight in Alaska.
Basically, it was the Cat Train system back then, before the Hickle Highway.
They built full-blown ice roads.
Yeah.
It wasn't the first one, but it was the most significant one, and it was the largest one. And the fact that they could even build this in the amount of time that they built it was absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had kind of an interest because it started at Live and Good. And I'm a Live and Gooder. And I got to go hunting on the Hickle Highway once. And I got to see it firsthand, and I was shocked, first of all, how big it was.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a cow path.
No.
And it was also why it wasn't used. You know, that was the other shocking part. It was built and it was used for a very short period of time, and then it wasn't used anymore. And why was that? And I always wondered that. And then when I started working on this, I saw, you know, oh, I started learning this stuff that I'd always wanted to know about. So, yeah, so today's show is about that.
Okay, go ahead.
And it was named after our former governor, Walter J. Hickel, also known as Wally. And he was a governor in 1968, which was a big year in Alaska politics. And then the following year, Keith Miller took over as governor, and Wally Hickel became the Secretary of Interior for the United States,
mm-hmm.
which was a huge deal for Alaska. And that happening was probably pivotal in the development of the North Slope oil.
Mm-hmm.
They started, the oil companies decided, okay, you know, we've got a really rich prospect. We need to develop this. How are you going to make that happen? And when you start talking about these kinds of things, you're talking about politics.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do it without permitting. You're not going to do it without the government being on board. And government is driven by public opinion. And to get past the politics of this, they were going to have to do something. They were going to have to act quick to get things started. Because if they waited and went through all these hoops and red tape, the hoops and the red tape would never end and nothing would ever happen. And they knew this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they got teams of lobbyists and lawyers and everything else. So Wally Hickel being the Secretary of Interior was probably a very calculated move. And so they're up there up north. You know, half of our local history revolved around gold up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just finishing up the second half that revolved around black gold.
Black gold. Texas yes. tea.
Yes, we're coming up on almost being just as long with that. And we're still developing gold, though,
yep.
which is pretty exciting. Anyway, so Wally Hickel was very instrumental in getting this road built, and that was why it was called the Hickel Highway. He was the one that started really pushing and making it possible for the construction to get started.
And where does the Hickel Highway start?
It starts at Livengood.
Where you used to live.
Yes.
Well, she's smiling, Fairbanks. She is smiling.
It doesn't start right in Livengood. It mm-hmm. starts beyond Livengood at the dam, one of the largest earthen dams built in North America at the time was built in Livengood in the 1940s, and it was for the dredging operations. And it started at the dam, and it went north from there, and it ended up going all the way to the Saguan River.
Sag River.
The Sag River, yes. That Sag was the goal.
The Saguan or the Sagavanirktok?
The Saguan.
Okay.
That was the goal. Well, pretty much where Dead Horse is today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big goal. The goal was to build this road starting in 1968, and they figured that by the end of January, they were started construction in like late November, early December of 1968, and by January, last half of January, I think was the original deadline, this would be completed, this ice road.
Mm-hmm. It's
547 miles of road.
Yeah.
Where there was nothing before. In the winter.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a pretty tall order.
Moving, you know, but you have that time frame where everything's frozen and you can do it.
Well, yeah, but 547 miles of road.
That's a lot of, you know, that's constructing basically.
That's more than from here to Anchorage.
That's basically constructing 4 miles of road a day.
That's more than from here to Anchorage.
Yeah, 352 miles from here to Anchorage.
Yes. So it ended up that it took much longer than they had anticipated. Mm-hmm. But you know, you can't fault any of the decision makers or anybody with that, because what they accomplished was absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. When you consider, now you think about
how many miles was it again?
547. So when you consider that you're going to build 547 miles of road, and you're up north and I'm at Live and Good, what's in between?
The Brooks Range. The Yukon River.
Yeah.
A couple grizzly bears.
Are there any gas stations?
No.
Are there any hotels, motels, restaurants?
There's no infrastructure whatsoever. There's no electrical line. There's
zero.
Nothing.
Zero. Oh, there's a phone. There is a phone. One phone in Bettles. And in Bettles, there's a place where you can, a rudimentary place to stay, you know, but that's about it.
Bettles Lodge, I've stayed there before.
Yes.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This Friday's 50-50 offer is from Midnight Sun Mobile Detailing. Get your vehicle, boat, or plane clean with a $150 gift certificate from Midnight Sun Mobile Detailing for only $75. They can pick up your vehicle at your work, clean it, and return it right back to you. They do interior cleaning, exterior cleaning, ceramic coating, paint correction, and headlight restoration. So look at your car right now. Now imagine it clean with Midnight Sun Mobile Detailing. This Friday, get your $150 gift certificate from Midnight Sun Mobile Detailing for only $75.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Exergen thermometers are proven to be more accurate than non-contact thermometers. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Clinical studies have proven that non-contact thermometers are inaccurate and can miss fevers. Accuracy matters. That's why the Exergen thermometer is trusted and used by medical professionals. Exergen thermometers are available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Choose a trusted and accurate thermometer for personal use. Learn more about why accuracy matters at Exergen.com.
There's a whole lot of savings going on now at Staples. During Staples Sit-A-Thon, you can save up to $150 on select office and desk chairs. And when you buy a chair, you save 25% on desks, storage solutions, and office accessories. Plus, your local Staples now accepts Amazon returns. And when you return an Amazon order at Staples, you receive a coupon for $10 off your next $30 Staples purchase. Now is definitely the time to save at Staples. Chair offer ends 10/28, in-store only. Exclusions apply on Amazon offer.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A mix of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 36. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows level off around 17. Overcast tomorrow, chance of snow, highs level off around 36. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Joni Skillbred in the studio with me. Her discussion today with us is the Hickle Highway. And they started in November. When did they end? When was construction finished?
In early March.
They didn't make the January deadline.
No.
Typical government.
Well, you know, this was pushed through by the state, and they were criticized every step of the way, but it really did get ramrodded through.
Yeah.
And I think that I think that the viewpoint from the oil companies and the, you know, the movers and shakers within the state at the time was, okay, if you get the footprint on there and you get a way to get supplies, then all of a sudden you're legitimized and your bigger overall goal becomes legitimate and harder to knock down.
Yep.
And I think that was the real reason that the road was built, so that they could have an establishment of equipment, resources, start the rudiments of getting production going, which doesn't mean sending oil down a pipeline, but getting it ready, you know.
Start the infrastructure.
Yes. And if they were going to wait until they could explore all these transportation options and do all of this, it would never, ever happen. It would get politically sunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a pretty strong environmentalist faction that they were going up against. And so they just stayed ahead of that ball, that negative ball rolling down the hill, and they never let it catch them.
Yeah.
So this getting slammed through, the state built the road, and there were other options. I mean, they looked at air, and the Fairbanks International Airport was stretched right to its very limits. They had Hercs and C-126s and C-1-something-elses, C-170s maybe. I'm not sure if I remember the number right, but they had this whole fleet. I mean, the air corridor was saturated with planes going back and forth between the oil fields and Fairbanks, and then these smaller supply points on the way. Because if you're going to build a road, you're going to have supply points.
Mm-hmm.
So they let out bids, and six firms that received these bids were Burgess Construction, John Wright Construction, J&M Mining Company, the Northern Commercial Company Equipment Division, and the Pacific Construction Company and Yukon Equipment. And these were the bidders, and Burgess got the bid.
Lloyd Burgess.
Yeah, but they had three state-owned dozers,
mm-hmm.
and then they went and leased three brand spanking new dozers. So they had six dozers. They had 22 men who were on the road building crew, and they worked two shifts. But when you're going to build the road, you have to also have a train of support stuff. So they had two bunk trailers, a Wanigan for a shop, for shop equipment, six tractors, a motor patrol, a road grader, several other like pickup trucks, you mm-hmm. know, to trundle stuff back and forth, and a mess galley. And they had to have, you know, I mean, you got to have a place for people to sleep, a place for people to eat. This isn't counting, you're going to have water, you're going to have fuel. You're certainly going to have parts. Anybody who has run equipment in the winter up here knows all too well you're going to have a lot of parts.
Parts break.
Yes. Yes. But they got it going, and they were doing really, really well. And then a big cold snap hit and shut them down. The fuel was turning solid.
Wow. Ready for a phone call? Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Jenny Skilbred, and your name is?
This is Charles.
Hello, Charles. How are you doing?
Okay. I work for Frontier Equipment, and Leroy Dennis was one of the leaders on that CAT train. Told me stories about corduroying the Yukon River each year.
Yes.
Putting logs down, multiple layers, and ice over that, water over that to
make the ice bridge up at, it was up near Stevens Village.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
I was just, I never worked a union job in my life, but I never really had any problems with the operators not knowing, you know, which end is up. So, unions have some things to say with it, but later on, though, not in this period you're talking about.
Okay.
Yes.
I think. So, okay, thanks.
So, thank you, Charles. You have a great afternoon and morning.
So, they started this work, and when you start talking building this ice road, you have to remember that it's not flat tundra.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of creeks, and if you've been around creek crossings up here, sometimes they're pretty deep. Every one of those deep ones, you have to bridge it. Then you have gullies, you know, that are really steep, and you're going to have a way for heavy loaded trucks to traverse those gullies. You can't just drive right over the topography as it exists by cutting the trees. And there was a lot of criticism because they catted off and they said, oh, they made this big mud hole. Well, it was an ice road. It was not meant to have gravel on it. Mm-hmm. It was an ice road. And they said, well, it wasn't built the proper way to build an ice road. Well, they didn't have the resources available, nor was the infrastructure in place to build a proper ice road in the eyes that the critics felt that it should have been built. They built it the fastest, easiest way that they could. And it was successful.
And they got it done.
Yes. So the criticism started happening when it, you know, when the thaw came and, you know, it's a big slop hole. Well, duh.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It was not built to drive on in the summer. That was not the purpose of the ice road. So they had to do this. The Yukon River, as the caller just talked about, was a major hurdle. And mm-hmm. they had to do this elaborate reinforcement and then make sure the ice was solid enough to be able to cross the Yukon. The worst part of it was after the Yukon River, when they got up north further and the topography was just horrible. And they also had to think about drifting. So when they put the roads as strategically as possible while they were going through, because you don't want it where a drift's going to form,
mm-hmm.
because you have to keep this road open.
Yeah.
Remember, there's no DOT stations. There was one DOT station during 1969, and that was the one that moved with the road crew. While they're building this road, all these trucks were leaving Fairbanks and hauling freight as far as they could, and it was being stockpiled mostly at Bettles. And if you've gone to Bettles, you can turn off the haul road today and you go on this road, and it's quite lengthy,
mm-hmm.
that drops down into Bettles. And I'm going to guess that that is a remnant of the Hickle Highway.
Yeah.
Yes. And so Bettles all of a sudden just exploded. And it became a place that was a depository for equipment and supplies and parts and broken vehicles and you name it, and people. And then you have to have a way to support all of this. It turned into this, it mushroomed into this almost like a city overnight. And then there was the pressure to stay right behind this road building crew to get that freight up north.
Yeah.
And a lot of frustration when they would hit delays, but getting the supplies up there, these truck drivers didn't have they had to stay in their truck.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have hot food. You know, Bettles was probably the only place they were gonna get anything to eat that they didn't have in a sandwich or something. I mean, it was, and you had to have full survival gear.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable what they went through.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break and leave you here with a little bit of bumper music. It's Van Halen, so it's probably from Rock Candy. Melissa Burnett. Then we have some Fox News, state news, some commercials, some weather, and we will be back.
We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Republicans joining Democrats in ousting Republican California Congressman Kevin McCarthy from his position as Speaker of the House. President Biden, what do you think?
We need to change the poisonous atmosphere in Washington. You know, we have strong disagreements, but we need to stop seeing each other as enemies. We need to talk to one another, listen to one another, work with one another. And we can do that.
McCarthy was removed from the speakership after holding the role for only 9 months. Now, Tennessee Congressman Tim Burchett is standing by his decision to vote for removal of McCarthy as speaker.
I've made it pretty clear. You know, we take in $5 trillion a year. We spend $7 trillion a year. The solution in Washington is another continuation budget. It's like telling a crackhead, I'm going to give you more crack to get you off of crack.
His comments on the Fox Business Network. The House can't vote on bills until a new speaker's chosen, and they're off for the rest of the week. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's News Source reports a report published this week by the U.S. Department of Justice says police pursuits should only happen if an officer is aware a violent crime has been committed or when a person poses a threat of violence. Anchorage police say that's one guideline it already follows, along with stopping the pursuit as quickly as possible and taking into consideration the conditions and situation. Fourth Avenue doesn't seem like the best place to get into a pursuit, but sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe Tuesday, it's a different story, Deputy Chief Sean Case of the Anchorage Police Department said. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation's National Center for Statistics and Analysis, pursuits that turned deadly increased 41% from 2001 to 2021. During that time period, 8,203 people died across the country. Of those killed nationally, about 36% were innocent bystanders. Alaska has some of the lowest numbers in the country, according to information obtained through the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. The highest number of deaths reported in Alaska was 4 in 2001.
At KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, they want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV, a motorcycle, a golf cart? Whatever moves you drives them. Stop in or shop online at batteriesplus.com.
Back, neck, or sciatica pain got you down? At McKinley Orthopedics Sports Medicine and Spine, our team of doctors and PAs trained in spinal care will work with you to achieve your treatment goals. Doctors Malcolm and Wright have a combined 29 years of experience with non-operative treatment of all things spine, including sciatica. Should you need surgery, our fellowship-trained spine surgeon, Dr. Kim Driftmeyer, has got your back. If your spine needs a tweak or an overhaul, call the spine specialist at McKinley Orthopedics Sports Medicine and Spine. In-house MRI and physical therapy, no referral needed. Open until 8 p.m. every day but Sunday. McKinleyOrtho.com.
Cooper Tire's Fall 2023 Tire Rebate Promotion is going on now at GCR Tires and Service. Receive up to $100 back when you buy a set of four qualified Discoverer family of tires, including all season or winter models. Submit your form and receive your Visa prepaid card from Cooper Tire of up to $100. Hurry in. The Cooper Tire Fall 2023 Rebate Promotion ends November 30th. Details at GCR, GCR Tires and Service, The Tire Guys, Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
Every house has windows. And when you have questions about purchasing new ones, where do you go? No, you don't ask Google. And if you did, it should tell you to go ask Steve at Glass Solutions for all your window and door-related questions. Steve's Alaska's expert with more than 30 years experience selling Arctigrade windows that will last. Everyday wholesale pricing on time-tested major brands that have proven themselves at 50 below zero. Call 699-9633 and ask for Steve for your best solution at Glass Solutions.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We are discussing the Hickel Highway, started in 1968, the original ice road up there.
Yes. So when you see the show Ice Road Truckers, they that's almost laughable.
Yeah.
Compared to what these guys went through.
Yeah.
Yes. So they have the crews and they're building, and there's no infrastructure. So you have to keep supplying the crews, and these supply vehicles are coming behind, mm-hmm. and they're running back and forth to Fairbanks. And one of the huge ones is fuel. And when it comes to the person supplying the fuel, that's as important as food. And
yeah, it's a food for the equipment.
Do you want to freeze to death or do you want to starve to death?
Yeah. We can starve to death over a longer period of time.
Yeah. So you're not going to give the job to just anybody to supply fuel to this crew. And so it was Gene Rogge who got the job. Legendary trucker. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
We should do a show about him.
Yeah.
He was amazing. He was there's other truckers, and then there was Gene, you know. And so he was the best of the best. And they had him supplying the fuel and everything. And when asked about it, he came into town to pick up loads. And Mike Dalton was one of the people who was working at the Newsminer, and she was covering the story. Let me tell you what. She wrote some great articles, and she would always look him up. And he said in these articles that he had driven in just as challenging conditions before in his career as a truck driver. He started in 1927. And he said that, it was a huge challenge. It was a huge undertaking. But for him personally driving, he was confident in his abilities to handle it. What was interesting is there was another truck driver who came up from Anchorage, Wes King, and he did this big thing. The Newsminer did a bit on him. He complained bitterly. He said that it was horrible out there, and there was nobody to take care of him. And, you know, he didn't understand that he was going out
into the wilderness.
Wilderness, yes. Yeah. And he was angry about it. He felt that that he should have been taken care of somehow. And it was a really stark contrast. You could tell that his skills as a truck driver were pavement only.
Yeah.
And here he was out in the middle of that. You know, he wasn't as skilled a truck driver as Gene was. Gene said it's no big deal, and Wes said, I could have died out there, you know.
That would be Anchorage, yeah.
And so I'm going to guess
that. Used to go down to the Kenai.
I'm going to guess that the experience of these truck drivers who drove it that first year fell somewhere between those two, you know, depending on your skills as an Alaskan truck driver. Your skills as a lower 48 truck driver don't even qualify you in this.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Joni Skillbred, and your name is?
John.
Hello, John. How are you doing?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air, John.
Yeah, I see the Hickel Highway every winter when we're building ice roads, and I often think about how tough it was for those men and women, whoever was up there, to put it in, and it's just amazing.
It was quite an accomplishment. And, you know, there's a lot of people that deserve the credit for it. But you would be hard pressed to get that done today. Very hard pressed.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, like this winter, they're going to need 1,000 workers up there for ice roads and gravel. I don't know where they're going to come from. And they're certainly not as tough as the old timers. So hats off to all those old timers out there.
True. They just don't make them like they used to, do they? Do we? Yeah.
No.
Of course, in 30 years, they'll be saying that about us. Ah, they're just not as tough as that Pruse group was and that Joni Skillbred in the studio.
Oh, I'm not tough. I just read a lot.
John, you take care. I got to take another phone call, buddy. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Joni Skillbred, and your name is?
It's Wade Gerler.
Hello, Wade. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. My dad's got the certificate for being the first one in the CAT train to reach Dead Horse.
Wow.
At Ice Road, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he pushed through. It was all winter. I remember that. 68, 69.
Yes. And when they got it done, he was honored at a big dinner at the Switzerland.
I don't think he went to that. I don't think he, maybe he did. He doesn't talk about it.
Yeah, the governor flew in, and they held a big dinner to honor those guys, those 22 people that put that road in. Yeah.
Yep, that's right, because he has a little cat. We lost it years ago. They gave him a little dozer, a cat dozer, just a toy. That's been gone now for years.
Thank you very much for sharing the history with your father with us. That's incredible.
He's still going strong.
And they don't make them like they used to, do they?
Fishing, hunting, and partying everybody under the table at 85.
Well, he deserves a special spot in the annals of Alaska history, let me tell you.
That is true. You have a great morning. Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
Goodness.
Yes. So you had this extreme of skills being on this road. And Mike Dalton, she got to travel along the road. She flew along, but, you know, was interviewing people along the way. And she remarked in there about, you know, the harsh conditions, the wind, the cold, mm-hmm. you know, all of that, but also that there were no facilities, and she's a female.
And, that's right.
Yeah, so you have to lose your shyness a little bit when you're out in the wilds.
Yes, you do.
I'll share one experience that kind of parallels that. When I first started living in Livengood, one of the first things I learned being on that road, it was winter, and we had to stop so that I could take a restroom break. And I went to dive off the road, and the snow is thigh deep. And I had to get over that real fast. You use the road. And if somebody comes, you just smile and wave.
You caught me in the act.
Pretty much.
Oh, boy.
But,
Precious Moments by Joni Skilbrand.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it was horrible conditions. So they get it built. And they had a couple of problems after they got it built. Drifting was a constant problem, and overflow was a huge problem. And those were their two main maintenance issues that they had. You know, they tried to avoid those spots as much as they could, but in some places you just can't. Mm-hmm. And so that was where most of your maintenance costs would be. And then any of those bridges, every year they were going to have to be put back in for that road to be used. And so they get the road built, yay! And right about the time that the road is being completed, to Governor Miller's horror, he realizes when he's reviewing the budget for the upcoming year that's already been submitted for review, there's no maintenance in it for the Hickel Highway. And he was horrified. And there was this big public outrage. Well, how could this happen? And why did this happen? Well, the budget was worked on before the Hickel Highway was started to be worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hickel Highway got pushed through. Everything happened so fast with that, that there was no time to even consider it for the next year's budget. But they got through some special appropriation money to get it funded, the maintenance for the next year. So for the next year when they ran it, when loads were going over it, they couldn't go until January because the Yukon River is got to be bridged.
Frozen. Yep.
Yes.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Joni Skilbrand, and your name is?
Hi.
Hello. Hello, Darlene.
Hi.
You get a little bit of a background there on you.
Okay, I got it.
There you go.
I just wanted to say I was up on the slope in 1973 when I went to Dead Horse the first time. And there was only one big building there with Big Cat. And they said, oh, no, it's not going to be very big. And then I stayed up there for probably over 20 years. And then the last time I went back up was 2005. And from the plane, you could see it's almost big as Seattle.
Yeah, that was going to be built up there, was there, Darlene?
Oh, my God. It was amazing. I mean, I worked right through the pipeline. I went through every camp I think there was. And then I was non-union making beds. And I got fired, so I joined the union. And I stayed up there. And it was just an amazing thing to see.
Amazing time in your life, too, I'm sure.
Oh, my God, yeah. I've never seen so many people. I've never ate so many different foods, like frog legs. You know, they have everything.
Yep.
To get people up there.
That is true.
I work right on the pipeline, and I watch those 739ers. They were quite a crew.
Oh, yeah, the Okies from Muskogee. 798ers, yeah.
Yeah, they owned the place.
They did.
Oh, my God. It was just, I wish I had a camera then. But anyway, that's just my experience. And the first time I took drug tests, I was trying to get on dual line. I was the only woman in about half a mile people in line. I was the only woman, and they gave me little cups and told me to go in this little bathroom and little tiny coffee cup.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I didn't get that job, but I still got up north, and I never seen so many people. I never seen so much booze go up there in my whole entire life. I've never seen that much booze.
Darlene, thank you for the phone call. We got to take a commercial break, okay? You have a great day. Thank you. And Fairbanks, excuse me that on that sneeze. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Exergen thermometers are proven to be more accurate than non-contact thermometers. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Clinical studies have proven that non-contact thermometers are inaccurate and can miss fevers. Accuracy matters. That's why the Exergen thermometer is trusted and used by medical professionals. Exergen thermometers are available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Choose a trusted and accurate thermometer for personal use. Learn more about why accuracy matters at Exergen.com.
There's a whole lot of savings going on now at Staples. During Staples Sit-A-Thon, you can save up to $150 on select office and desk chairs. And when you buy a chair, you save 25% on desks, storage solutions, and office accessories. Plus, your local Staples now accepts Amazon returns. And when you return an Amazon order at Staples, you receive a coupon for $10 off your next $30 Staples purchase. Now is definitely the time to save at Staples. Chair offer ends 10/28, in-store only. Exclusions apply on Amazon offer.
The Fairbanks Clinic has been here for you since 1932, the year Amelia Earhart completed the first female nonstop solo flight across the Atlantic, the year BBC aired their first television broadcast. That was over 90 years ago, and they're still here, still taking care of you and your family. That's the Fairbanks Clinic in their beautiful building at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Call and schedule your appointment today with their family care practice. That's the Fairbanks Clinic, here for you since 1932.
Don't miss the Tananaw Valley State Fair Association Fall Festival, Saturday, October 7th, noon to 4. Fall is a colorful time of year, and we're celebrating with food trucks, music, hayrides, a petting zoo, games, a movie, story time, and much more. You'll also be able to pick out a pumpkin and purchase it on the spot. The Fall Festival, Saturday, October 7th, noon to 4, at the Tananaw Valley State Fairgrounds. Get out of the house, bring the kids, as this will be fun for all. Only $5 per person or $12 for a single family. For more information, call 907-452-3750.
KFAR weather.
Highs level off around 36. Today, under partly cloudy skies, easterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear tonight. Lows level off around 17. Chance for snow tomorrow, high of 36. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jenny Skillbred in the studio here with me with the Hickle Highway. And you're a popular person. We have another phone call if you're ready.
All right.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Jenny Skillbred, and your name is?
George.
Hello, George.
Yeah, I've got a diary from a fellow named Elmer Parkinson who worked on that Hickle Highway, and one time his pickup broke down in the diary, and he had to walk 9 miles to the camp, and their pack of wolves followed him all the way on the trail.
He was a lean cuisine.
I can tell you, if that was between Live and Good and Stevens Village, there's a lot of wolves there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been on that trail from Bettles to Prospect Creek, which still exists today, and that was the Hickle Highway that left the present Dalton Highway from Prospect Creek and went through Bettles.
I was right.
Up into Bettles. Yeah, you were right. And another time I was repairing that dam at Hess Creek just above Livengood there, and we were using cats to kind of ask after the 67 flood in the early 70s, and a guy pulled in there, came up that through Livengood with a big tanker. He was trying to go to Prudhoe Bay, and he should have taken the haul road, not the old Hickle Highway. And we had a heck of a time getting him turned around and driving that 7 miles back to Livengood.
He took the wrong fork in the road.
I'll let you go on that count then.
Well, thank you for the phone call and the history. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Bye, George.
Bye, George.
So my experience with the Hickle Highway, when I said that I was shocked how big it was, mm-hmm. is anybody who has ever gone and scraped away anything to do with the tundra up here finds out real fast.
You don't do that.
That it turns to a quagmire.
Yep.
And it was as wide as a California freeway on the Hess Creek part,
mm-hmm.
because they had to move it over because it was a lack of drainage. And it got torn up quite a bit. In the spring, the last loads went over it that first year in April, and the last guys finally made it back to town. And I'm sure that they ripped it to ribbons on that last stretch through Hess Creek, because it's all swamp. They set up Tony Johansson, the Johansson Expressway is named after him. Mm-hmm. He was the head guy with DOT, and he set up a checkpoint at Olness, and they had to declare their freight. They had to declare their freight, and they kept track of it. And it was 7,400 something tons of freight that were hauled successfully up north from Fairbanks to
Prudhoe Bay
that first year. And remember, that road didn't get completed until March.
Yeah.
The next year, they ran even more, you know, because they were able to, as soon as the river was frozen in January, they were able to open the road for hauling, and all they did.
Yeah.
And during that next year, that's when it started coming out, we need a permanent road. And this isn't going to suffice. So, you know, there was a lot of negative press about how ineffective the Hickle Highway was, and it was put in the wrong way, and, you know, a lot of criticism. However,
it proved that you needed it.
We would have never, ever gotten any of that oil development done if it wasn't for the Hickle Highway.
Yeah.
Yes, you never would have gotten through all those red tape channels to build a year-round road. The Hickle Highway was what paved the way for the Dalton Highway to be built. And Tony Johansson kind of summed up after the first year of running on it. He said that it's certainly no place for a chechako wearing a light jacket and tennies. And he was definitely right in that. And nobody died, which is unbelievable considering what they went through.
Yeah.
The windstorms that they had to sit through were just horrendous.
Oh, we just
and
lost
the deep cold.
Just lost a phone call. Hopefully they call back.
And the deep, deep cold. And at one point it got so bad they just air evacuated everybody, shut it down for a couple of weeks, and then they all went back and continued.
When you have your gas gelling up, that's when it's cold. Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Joni Skillbred, and your name is?
This is Ron David.
And hello, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
I wanted to congratulate the two of you. One of the best shows you've ever put on.
Why, thank you.
Yes, compliments are always welcome.
Well, I was a true chechako at the time, and hearing some of the old names and places is pretty interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron, for the phone call. You take care, buddy. Good hearing from you. Oh, get your head back in the room.
Yes. Do you think this one beats the flu show? I don't know. The flu show I was pretty proud of. that was.
I don't rate them. I just enjoy the heck out of all of them.
Yeah.
It's like asking who your favorite kid is.
This is one of my favorites, though.
Yeah.
Yes. But I do like the flu show and the stripper show. The stripper show was a fun show.
Well, of course it was. How can you not have a fun stripper show? Yeah, my dad was involved in that one.
Of course. Well, I didn't find a way to tie your dad into this one, you know. I'm sorry.
Well, you can work harder next time and figure it out.
Yeah, maybe so.
Well, actually, Lloyd Burgess was a good friend of his. And we did a lot of duck hunting with Lloyd Burgess out at Gila Lake.
Yes.
And Lloyd's center of operations was over there off Hamilton, where across from where Nordo School is. And that's where you can see remnants of his warehouses over there and his house office and everything like that. So
Burgess Construction,
So
they were major players, especially early on with this. Yeah. You know, they were part of the success story.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess the lesson learned in kind of doing this, I had just such a good time working on this, was that when you see in the press all the negative Nelly stuff about a project, you know, don't be so quick to buy into it.
Yeah. There's a reason why they're trying to make it negative.
Yes. You have to push back the hype, you know, push back beyond that and really look at the other side of the coin as well. Because this was a hotly contested thing to do, but they slammed it through, and thank goodness they did. None of us would be here and living the life that we live today if these guys hadn't have done that.
Now let me get this straight. You want me to go on this road on a crew, and the only phone is in Bettles.
If you make it there.
If you make it there.
Yes.
And then you can call home and tell me all about it.
Yes. You know, it's like if you have to walk, if your cat breaks down and you have to walk back to the cook shack or whatever and survive the wolves following you.
9 miles, yeah.
9 miles, yes. Yeah. Or the windstorm. The windstorms between the river and the Brooks Range were so bad. A lot of times it was just a total whiteout. They couldn't see, you know, those ground blizzards. That's pretty, you know, you get in that undulating open country. Yeah,
and you have to remember, these people were the first. Yep. They were the first.
Yeah. And then up on the slope, you know, that was also really interesting that once they got up on the slope, it actually, they had to finish that last bit, but the worst of it was behind them, where a lot of people would think that up on the slope it would be the hardest.
Yeah.
But it was really between the Yukon River and the Brooks Range was the hardest part of it to build.
We got a minute left. How do you want to end it besides thank you? And it was an incredible show that you put on. Thank you.
Yes. It was a lot of fun. Well, we talked about maybe Garden Island.
I so want to do Garden Island. You know, most people don't understand what Garden Island is, or the history, or feeding Fairbanks, or, you know, annexation about 1952 in the Fairbanks and everything. So I want to do Garden Island. Well, I live on Garden Island.
Let's shoot for Garden Island for the next show.
Okay.
And it may not be till the month after, depending on, you know.
It's up to you, man.
I have some research to do. And
I so enjoy being turned loose.
I do. But Garden Island, either our next show or the one after, depending on the research
time.
October or November. Yes.
Fairbanks, that is our show for today. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and we'll have more. Joni, thank you so much. Fairbanks, you have a great day.